This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
You have to be strong in today's world.
Strong.
Keep your focus and
up.
What you believe in, how to achieve all your dreams.
Hey.
Keep moving forward. Never accept less than who you are. Live your best life.
Hey.
Be strong and free. It's the Hit Back.
Hey.
With Nahash Black.
Hey.
It's the Hit Back.
The Hit Back with Nahash Black is sponsored by the Cancer Treatment Centers of America, Baha Retreat and Spa, Kalina Financial Advisors Limited, and J.S. Johnson.
Good afternoon, Bahamas, and welcome to The Hit Back. I'm your host, Nahaja Black. It is a beautiful day here in the 242. I hope that you are doing well, that you are taking care of yourself, that you are living your best life. That is the goal. That has always been my goal. And when you say live your best life, it's not a selfish thing. It is actually a selfless thing when you begin to find who you are, what motivates you, what gets you up in the morning. Then you're a better wife, a better mother, a better teacher, a better preacher. Whatever gives you purpose gives you joy. And that joy is that thing that's effusive, that is outpouring, that people will be drawn to you. Be mindful of how people are pulled into your orbit. That's a bit of charisma. That's a bit of something there. That je ne sais quoi. Work it, but be truthful. Don't use it to manipulate. Don't use it just to get your own way, sisters. We got to be uplifting. We've got to be bigger than ourselves in our situation. Even your bad days can be the best day for someone else. Always seek to be a giver, because we are going into daunting situations. I want to say hello to everyone who's tuning in. I already gone on my whole preacher vibe, and it ain't even close to Sunday yet. It's what day is this? I don't even know what day this is anymore. Is it Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday? I can't keep up. All I know is I'm still in this pursuit of happiness, y'all. Full-on pursuit. And then, you know, you read the paper, folks holding on, don't want to let go. Isn't there a song by En Vogue that says, hold me tight and don't let go? Don't let go. And then it's trying to hold on. That's a bad joke. Anyways, so we got a lot of stuff to talk about today. I'm excited. We have today we had 11 new cabinet ministers added to the number. I think yesterday was 9, or Monday was 9, and now we have 11. So that makes a solid 20 persons added to the cabinet. That is not a small cabinet. Oh, no. So now the question is, okay. And I have to do the math. Because I think over the 4 years of the minister administration, I'm sure we kept adding a cabinet minister a day. I'm just kidding. Bad joke. Anyways, so we're going to find out what's the total on that as well. So we're adding new cabinet ministers. We have some interesting comments by Mr. Gawonbo with regards to mortgage relief. We know that the economy is in trouble, but when speaking to those persons such as Mr. Bo, it's not as dire as it seems. It just takes a lot of intention, a lot of attention and intention and intentional leadership, understanding of commerce, understanding of the economy, understanding of our economy versus the global projections. We must consider ourselves a practical modeling country versus just the theoretical when it comes to economics. So I think that there's a lot that we, you know, can learn from and through this process. And that leads to my first set of guests. Of course, many of you know, I've said it many times, that one of my proudest things, apart from my family, apart from the show, is my involvement with natural resources. Why is it so important? Because I feel as if I discovered it too late. It was a secret. It was something that was hidden and that required more illumination. I am not one, like I said, I'm a practical woman and a practical, sensible woman. I don't believe in the only people I expect or only person I expect miracles from is God. Yeah. I am not one that believes that people, well, the Bible says the arms of flesh are surely, you know, what is it? She'll surely, oh, no, I just always say to betray, fool you. Is it? Debbie Bartlett is coming on. Dr. Debbie Bartlett. She could quote that scripture right for me when she comes on. I assure you, she will, she will get me nice and saved. But, you know, fail you. The arms of, yes, fail you. The arms of flesh will surely fail you. So one of the challenges is that the illumination for a younger generation is happening. We see that there's a movement for it. There's a movement towards more information. This more information is something that we should all be aspiring to. But information without certain structures is not actually valuable. You know, it's just what you know. How do you take what you know and form it into something that is of value, that is of substance? How do you take what you know? And if you find out that there is a value, how do you protect it? Not just because of greed, because of personal desire, but that it becomes something bigger. And today, I'm excited because I have some wonderful guests. And, you know, I'm a big fan of the first name I mentioned. I consider her a mentor. I consider her a mentor for many across all both genders. The one and only, Dr. Deborah Bartlett. You know her because she speaks on economic emancipation. The Economic Emancipation Network is one of her babies. We know that this is what she does. She speaks on power. She speaks on purpose. She speaks on knowledge. She speaks on structure. Ladies and gentlemen, one of my guests in this discussion on our natural resources is none other. I would say round of applause, but my show is a tad bit low budget because I don't have that button. I am going to introduce to you none other than Dr. Debbie Bartlett. Dr. Bartlett, welcome to the show.
You know how much I love you, and hello, Bahamas. Hello, world. I am so inspired. Anytime I watch and listen to you, you are an asset to this country. And thank you for having me on this powerful show, The Hit Back.
My God, Dr. Bartlett, I mean, I really should send you a check in the mail, but you know, our post office doesn't work.
I only tell the truth.
Then, of course, we have joining us, you saw him, he was on the show, I think last week or week before last, one of the nation's great social advocates, right? Really much one, a gentleman who is quiet in nature, but powerful in purpose and stature. A gentleman that I've grown to have such admiration for his leadership skills, for his way of just constantly working and weaving to bring real progressive change. The one and only Dr. Anthony Hamilton. Dr. Hamilton, how are you?
I'm fine, Madam Black, and I need to send you a check in the mail.
Listen, I'm here for you. But again, if you put it in that mail, we will never get it. And then we have joining us, this gentleman has been a blessing to my life, to the life of our foundation, the Bahamas Natural Resources Foundation. This Bahamian man, I just love him to pieces because he took structure. He took what we had and made it something bigger, made it something formidable, made it something that is global in its reach. He took an idea, the vision, Dr. Bartlett and Dr. Hamilton. He took the vision and ran with it like it was his own baby. And anyone who knows what it's like to have a vision and then have such people who take it and own it and caress it like it's their child to help it to come to adulthood understands the value of that human. So there's no money I could pay him. Actually, still working on that. Still working on that. He's waiting on that check in the mail. this gentleman is the CEO. I call him everything. He's the CEO, chairman. He might almost be a lawyer by now. The one and only chairman and president of the Bahamas Natural Resources Foundation, my good friend and brother, Aj Cunningham. Aj, how you doing, buddy?
Hello, Nahaja, and I'll wait for the check. I take American Express as well.
And finally, without further ado, I'm excited about the young man that I have just gotten the opportunity to meet, where Dr. Bartlett, Dr. Hamilton, and Aj have all sat and listened to the information that he shares, the wealth of knowledge that he brings when we start to talk about our natural resources, those things that can be extracted. He works within an industry. And if you heard his CV, his bio, he tried to list all of the things to me. And all I came out with was this young man has had four lives already to be this well experienced in his field. And he's coming from an organization called the EITI. And Aj, Extractive Industries. Come on, Aj, you know this.
Transparency Initiative.
That's it. Extractive Industries Transparency Initiative. EITI. And I want y'all to get used to that. Know this name. Because when we start talking about real substantive things, like our natural resources, we're not talking about pie in the sky ideas. We are not talking about how much you're going to get in this check that's coming through the government mail. You are talking about sustainable growth and investment, and how do we protect ourselves from further, when folks take stuff from you, when we get taken advantage of. You all know this.
Exploitation.
Word, right? Exploit. That's why Aj is the president. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only, Mr. Sherwin Long. Sherwin, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Ms. Black, and welcome to all your viewers as well. Thanks.
Oh, and for the record, he has a good Trini accent, right? He's from Trinidad and Tobago. I'm going to try and see if I can get him upset just to get that good Trini accent. Dr. Bartlett, what do you think?
Sounds like a plan. Trinidad is one of my favorite Caribbean nations.
Yeah, no, I think it's one of my, I've never been, but every Trini friend that I've had at school, I would, them and Bajans just want them to be upset. So you'd say something just to tick them off. And you don't know how they're arguing with you, but you like it. You like it.
I will try to put a convincing argument to you today.
Well, I stole one of their food one time and it did work. We did have a real fight. So ladies and gents, thank you so much for joining the show, joining the Hit Back. The conversation that we're about to have is one that I'm really happy that we will have, because this takes the conversation from out of just a theoretical, but into an idea of how we practically create processes, structure around our natural development, our natural resources. Considering today that we got a minister for the first time of natural resources, Minister Vaughn B. Miller, we actually have a ministry of natural resources. And I think that it means that it's time to take this topic very, very seriously. It is no longer something where people can say, oh, it ain't real, it's pie in the sky. We have a ministry on it. And I want to start with you, Dr. Bartlett, because you come to this position of our natural resources from a very fundamental point of view, one that starts with us as the people, and why it's important that this is a topic we continue to have a discussion on. Dr. Deborah Bartlett, please give us your thoughts on why we are here today discussing environmental protections, in particular organizations like Extraction Industries Transparency Initiative, EITI. Dr. Bartlett?
You know, I wanna begin by saluting those who are part of the foundation of the fight to have our natural resources organized through policy and intent to be an asset to our country and the people of our country. And Prescott Smith and yourself and your entire foundation should certainly be celebrated among the leaders of leaders that has influenced this historic day in our country. I mean, the headlines to me is that we have the Ministry of Natural Resources, and appointed to that position is a leader in our country, whether he was on the FNM side and now he is a minister. He has always fought for the recognition of natural resources. And may I say that when we started the CEO Network in 1997, it was a lonely place for me, because since that time, I have very intentionally promoted ownership for Bahamians. And I would like to think that those of us who started to awaken this consciousness within the Bahamian people that the destination the vision from our founding fathers. And our founding fathers was not motivated by a political ambition, but for the good for the people. And our founding fathers include people who were and are on the FNM side and the UBP side and the PLP side. It's important to get back to the foundation. William Cartwright, H.M. Taylor, Cecil Wallace, Whitfield, Sir Lyndon Pinling, on and on, Loftus Roker, George Smith. They came together, the Bostwicks, because they believed in the preamble of our country. And just let me just say this thing and set hopefully a foundation. This historic day in our country to assign a ministry to manage our natural resources is, to me, an indication for restoration of what the national priorities ought to be, not only based on the vision for our founding fathers, but the vision of God himself. Just let me say this very quickly in 1 minute, why I'm so excited. When God created the heavens and the earth, the first thing he did with earth is created an environment, the landscaping. The second thing he did when he created the environment is that he made natural resources the first industry. The first industry activated was agriculture and fisheries. And then he showed us the pathway, the rivers, the resources with the gold and the diamonds, the oil, etc. That's the priority. And if we understand and believe that we were born to be economically emancipated, that we were born to be economically secure, economically liberated, every policy should lead us to that path. And so I am absolutely excited today that this is history in the making. And I believe that that is the appropriate and very critical response for defeating what some of us may perceive as a crisis, which is really, as we heard it over and over again by the Chinese, is an opportunity for us to restart our economy and do it the right way. Destination economic emancipation.
Ooh, that's a word. Okay, just that's a perfect way to go to a break. That's a word. Let's go to a break. When we come back, let's carry on with this discussion. That was Dr. Debbie Bartlett sharing her story. We will be back right after this. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back right after this.
J.S. Johnson Insurance agents are the best. Reliable service, we've been on the scene, protecting since 1919. J.S. Johnson Insurance has the test. Always, you're always covering me. J.S. Johnson Insurance, peace of mind.
Have you heard about the COVID vaccine raffle? If you are vaccinated against COVID-19, you can enter to win amazing prizes like food store gift certificates, hotel stays, beach excursions, and so much more. Even if you are previously vaccinated, you can still enter to win. The COVID vaccine is free, safe, and protects you from severe COVID-19 infections. Don't delay. Get vaccinated today and enter to win. Visit www.vaxbahamas.com to register.
What happened to you?
You look like you lost your paycheck.
Man, I just realized I got scammed out of a bunch of money. They said I won this contest and just needed me to send them some money so I could collect. I mean, to expedite something. Or was it to smooth the process?
Man, you're smarter than that. Protect yourself against scams and fraud by following these tips. If you know you didn't enter a competition, you can't win. Never play to receive a cash prize. If you're being asked, you're being scammed. Check trusted internet sites for verification of information given to you. Do not give your banking details to people you don't know. If it sounds too good to be true, it is. Monitor your bank account regularly for any questionable transactions.
Get more information at GetMoneySmartBahamas.com.
us sugar, sugar, let's get sugary. Softer, smoother, and amazing skin. Oh, Baja sugar, sugar, we're the sugar ladies, giving you skin soft as a baby's. Goodbye hair, we'll take good care of you.
Come visit us at Baja Treat Spa on East Bay Street. Contact us at 323-6711 or visit us online at www.baharetreat.com.
When I had got prostate cancer, my family didn't know if I was going to live at Cancer Treatment Centers of America. Within days, I got an appointment. They presented me with treatment options and they set up a robotic prostatectomy. When my scans came back, there are no signs of cancer. They don't see you as a number. They see you as a part of family. I'm going on with my life. It's a real gift.
Call us at Cancer Treatment Centers of America.
You invest in your children, your home, and your community. But are you investing in your financial future? At CFAL, we specialize in investment management, retirement planning, mutual funds, and private wealth management. Our team of experts never stops helping you plan for tomorrow. Because tomorrow begins today. Call us at 502-7010 to see what our financial advisors can do for you. CFAL, growing wealth for future generations.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Listening to the Hit Back with Nahasha Black Guardian Radio, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM every weekday, 4 to 6 p.m. We are also streaming live on YouTube and Facebook. So go ahead, type in Nahasha Black, type in the Hit Back with Nahasha Black. Either way, you'll find me. OMG, am I way too findable? You know, whatever that word, that's not a real word, but I'm going to use it online. Yeah, so I have that as a challenge. But I continue on with this great conversation. We're talking about our natural resources and the need for transparency and accountability, how to create those structures, particularly when we now have a Ministry of Natural Resource. I want to welcome my guests back to the show, Dr. Debbie Bartlett, Dr. Anthony Hamilton, President of Civil Society Bahamas, Aj Cunningham, President and Chairman of the Bahamas Natural Resources Foundation, and Sherwin Long, EITI expert. Sherwin, why don't I have your title in front of me? But I'm going to actually come to you now, right? Sure. Because with time that's passing and traveling, I want to get you to tell us a bit about... Actually, no. Let me hold that thought, because I want to come to you now, but let me do some more groundwork, right? I want to ask Aj... The Bahamas Natural Resources Foundation, its impact right now, or watching us have a ministry now, right? And Yes. There are things that the foundation champions, right? And Anthony, Dr. Hamilton, you can feel free to chime in on the heels of this question to Aj. There's things that the foundation and both civil society, they champion when we talk about the economic rights, the valuation of our natural resources. What do you see in terms of the foundation's platform now with the ministry and the importance of transparency and accountability in extractive industries, especially where that's where we have a lot of things going on now?
Well, first, Nahasha, thank you for having me on. And I am honored to be on this historic day as we talk about transparency and natural resources. But first, I would like to congratulate all of the new cabinet ministers, and in particular, the Minister for Environment and Natural Resources, the Honorable Vaughn Miller. Many Bahamians have been echoing these words for the years about the importance of having a Ministry of Natural Resources, and like many other nations do. And at this point, what does it look for the foundation in terms of this new initiative? One, we definitely have the savoir-faire, if you will, the ability to be at the table to forge the new direction, but we have to first do an accounting. An accounting of what are our natural resources, and there are those that we know that's creating economic engine or monetization. We have limestone extraction that's taken place in our country. We have oregano that's being exported. We look at our fisheries. We look at many indelible products and services and aspects in our natural resources plethora that has to be done. But we know what is happening, but we have to mandate accountability and transparency. People have been communicating for a long time. So I think at this date, and my humble viewpoint, today in this new administration has an opportunity, based on where we are in our time, to make a formidable change in the trajectory in the history of this nation. And we know that this is not something that's going to come overnight. We've heard the political thought around natural resources, but as the foundation, the Bahamas Natural Resources Foundation, we are working in the background. We're not the loudest, but I assure you, we are making movements in the background for the Bahamian people, for economic emancipation. And in that regard, we will look to sit at the table and forge some policy and understanding of what the Bahamas need. But let's be clear, Bahamian people, this is not going to happen overnight. And it starts where you have to open the cupboard and be transparent. It's not about pointing the fingers and blaming on different colors, different red, green, blue. No, we are all Bahamians. And so we have to, in this new space, we have to wake up and realize what opportunities we have, and are we going to embrace it? And I think with EITI and the transparency around it, which Mr. Long will speak about, it really sets the framework on how we move forward. And that's the most important piece I see the foundations working, that we were wishing for a long time to have the Ministry of Natural Resources. Now, the next thing is to develop a cogent, sustainable sovereign wealth.
That's right.
Wealth fund tied in. And again, we don't have to recreate the wheel. The models exist. And we, the Bahamian people, you have to be prepared that there's opportunities, but you have to be prepared to actually do the work, contribute, bring your voice to the table, and ready to make a difference, and let your parliamentarians and the policymakers know what it is that we desire. And if you need to educate yourself.
You know what I want to do, and Dr. Hamilton, I want you to be the nice cushion under Mr. Long here, because I want to switch gears and I want to get to Mr. Long in this discussion before I bring you on, Dr. Hamilton. Sherwin Long, you are representing, you work with, you are part of the team that really spreads the message on the importance of this Extractive Industries Transparency Initiative. Explain to the Bahamian people what that is.
Okay, again, thanks for having me. The EITI, as the name suggests, there's transparency in the name. So what the EITI really is, it's a process. So countries sign up to the initiative, and it promotes transparency and accountable management in countries rich in natural resources, right? I heard before Arj mentioned limestone, aragonite, fisheries. All of these things fall under the EITI initiative. So it's a global gold standard, right? How does it work? As I said before, countries sign up to the initiative, and then you have to follow a standard. What does the standard say? The standard says, listen, if you're going to sign up to this initiative, you must have a tripartite coalition that implements the initiative. So that's the first thing. Countries will have to set up a steering committee made up of members of civil society, government, and extractive companies. So for instance, I can give an example in Trinidad and Tobago, BP. It sits on our steering committee with the Ministry of Energy, as well as the Oilfield Workers Trade Union, or Fishermen and Friends of the Sea, very vocal civil society groups. So that's the pillar of the EITI, tripartite cooperation and trialogue. Now, what questions does the EITI try to answer? Three major questions. One is, how much value do you get from your natural resources? So there's an independent auditor that looks at what companies say they pay to the government versus what governments say they receive from companies. And then they reconcile that. The independent auditor would reconcile those figures and say, okay, are there any differences? If there are any differences, what is the reason for the difference? So that's one part aspect of EITA implementation. The other aspect is, who do we partner with as a country to develop our resources? Who are the beneficial owners? When we speak of beneficial owners, we know who are the real interest, who are the controlling interests behind a company? Who are we partnering with to develop these resources? That's another aspect of EITI implementation. And then the third aspect around issues like contract transparency speaks to, do we get fair value from our natural resources? It answers three major questions. If I'm breaking it down very simply, that's what the initiative does. And it's really about engagement as well, because if you have a tripartite coalition, and as part of the standard, you also have to promote dialogue and debate on these stats that are produced. You know, it's a good initiative, but look at it in the context of what we face in the Caribbean. Sometimes we shout and scream at each other rather than having a conversation. So bringing the competing interests around a table is something that's very important. So that's one thing. Having the data, you know, having data-driven dialogue where we can say, okay, an independent auditor put this information out. What does it mean for our development? What does it mean for development in the Bahamas? What does it mean for our country's development when we know that we've received X amount of millions from our limestone, for instance? So it's an initiative that touches on many of the pain points for civil society, for government and companies, because, you know, it builds trust. So one, you know, you have a tripartite coalition, so there needs to be trust building. The data is independently verified, so you can trust it. So when you're having your debates on either a political platform, in a barbershop or wherever, you can pull this data and say, well, listen, an independent auditor says we've received X. And then it goes on to having dialogue about how is the money spent. That's a part of the standard requirements as well. So it's really wide-ranging, the initiative.
You know, one of the things, and I want to show or ask this particular question. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Hit Back with Nahaja Black Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Special guest today, Sherwin Long from the EITI, Extractive Industries Transparency Initiatives. That organization really helping to create these levels of disclosure, this level of transparency, trust within our extractive industries. And in particular, and I have a question for you, Sherwin, you are from Trinidad and Tobago.
Yes.
Your major extractive industry is oil.
Yes.
Now, I want to ask this question with regards to that particular thing. And because, of course, I don't know if you know, right? Just recently, we had an article written about our fiscal stability by an economist, Marla Durkan. And the two nations she referenced that were kind of on this fiscal cliff were both the Bahamas and Trinidad and Tobago, right? And I sat and I pondered and I said, well, what a time. Trinidad with this resource is mismanaging this resource. Seemingly from the outside looking in, right? And based on some of her statements, the economist Durkan, that's what was relayed. We don't even have the sort of valuation on our resource. We don't have this level of transparency on our resource. We know we have extractive industries that, such as the sand and aragonite, that are being taken out of country. We know that there's a company waiting right now for Morgan's Bluff to have to begin to extract there. They're still hopeful there. All of that said, how does EITI help you guys look at your oil? How does it help you to see it and say, we didn't get good value? How are you using it right now in Trinidad and Tobago?
Right. So how we use the EITI really is the independent verification is very important. The EITI tells the story of the economy. So you can see the decline in oil and gas revenues in Trinidad and Tobago. Now, when you see the decline of oil and gas revenues, what does it mean? It means that, listen, we have to manage our resource properly. We have to use the money that we earn from the sector as a pillar for future development. So it drives that conversation in terms of, do we need to diversify from oil and gas? What industry should we focus on, given there's a dwindling sort of revenues coming from the sector? So it drives a conversation sort of beyond oil and gas. It says, okay, listen, future planning, future projects, future policies, what do we need to do given that our revenue is declining? So it drives a discussion. It informs policymakers. It informs the public of this is where we are in terms of our resources and what do we need to either extend the life of the industry or to diversify away from the industry and look into different industries.
Would there be, Sherwin, with EITI, does it help to create an accounting? Does EITI need to, or is at the forefront? And again, if you're unfamiliar with what EITI is, Extractive Industries Transparency Initiatives, does it stand in the forefront of valuation of your natural resources?
Well, again, what you get with EITI is that you get the production and you get what you earn from that production. So it sends some information to you about, okay, this is the value. If we produce a 100 and we earn 10, we can do some forward projections. We can say, okay, if we continue producing 100, what does it mean for our spending on subsidies and transfers? So it gives you that information. A little deeper, it also helps you in terms of looking at what value do you receive based on the tax or the fiscal system in your country. And it helps you understand, listen, maybe I need to tweak my tax codes. Maybe I need to shift my policy, my taxation policy, to gain more value. So it helps in that regard in terms of forward looking. And also it gives you a picture of what is happening now.
Interesting. Dr. Hamilton, when you look at this as president of the Civil Society Bahamas, why is ETI something that we need in the Bahamas?
Excellent. Right away, the most important thing to recognize that people are our most important asset and investment. And the resources of the country is supposed to undergird the strengthening of the people. And this is speaking to structure in particular. I want to focus on the vision for Civil Society Bahamas in particular, which is a Bahamas where civil society is respected and fully engaged in good governance. We're talking about leadership, we're talking about structure, and the mission aspect of this, as a third pillar of governance, Civil Society Bahamas will lead coalition building among members and other CSOs or civil society organizations for partnering and promoting civil society engagement in national development. What we're speaking to is a structure in its truest sense of planning, organizing, implementing, and evaluating. That takes me to the point of emphasizing the need for our national development plan. In essence, we come together and we agree. This is a partnership exercise right now that's unfolding right in our very faces. The tripart aspect that was mentioned by Mr. Long, we have a diagram in Civil Society of Bahamas that refers to the tripart governance structure. And it's speaking to the importance of civil society or the people of our society, the business community, and government. I often refer to this particular chart as two bites of the cherry. We've just walked through an electoral process nationally. The citizenry and residents had an opportunity to exercise their voting rights to choose a government. Having chosen the government, your work has just begun, because now we collectively have to take responsibility. The government has a responsibility. The citizenry has a responsibility, likewise, to bring account. And this structure of EITI actually puts us in a strategic position to have accountability and transparency and make sure that we are managing the resources to benefit the nation at large. One of the big tickets right now is the fact that our health system is seriously in a crisis. And so we're speaking to maximizing resources in every which sense to ensure that the people of the nation is benefiting in its greatest capacity. And so the structure of EITI, the Extractive Industry Transparency Initiative, is an excellent tool to be utilized with government's engagement to ensure that we maximize the returns on investments as far as the country is concerned to the benefit of the citizenry.
Ash, let me ask you this question before I get to Dr. Bartlett. There's someone says, listen, it's 4:40. Well, that was then, obviously. It was 4:40. Let's get to the meat of the conversation. How much, where, and what do we need to do to protect What do we need to do to protect and manage? And we're saying what? This is it?
No, I think right now, Minhaj, to be very blunt, we have to be drastic. And we know that limestone is being extracted out of Grand Bahama. We need a full accounting of that today, not yesterday, not tomorrow, today. That is a point of fact. We know that we look at a state where we just got a downgrade and a sovereign debt. So there's still, but we still have opportunities. We're diversifying our economies. We have a financial sector. It's expanding in innovative technologies. So there's a lot of things that's going on that we can make drastic change. And so we have to make drastic change. You talked about the drilling in Morgan's Bluff. We think that we can utilize our natural resources, but not for a selected few. It has to be open to the public of what is going to be done, who are the owners, and what's going with the funds. We have persons right now in the Bahamas who are hungry. Mm-hmm. They don't have enough to buy lunch. While we have millionaires extracting our natural resources, and no one is, and everyone's being quiet. So let's not count the money. Let's look at the accountability. Excuse me. And so, the first drastic move, drastic action. Let's do an accounting. Let's halt and cease, and let's see what is being taken out. Where is it going, and who's on it, and why are we, a sovereign nation? And I go back to the preamble of our constitution, which says that we inherit the lands, the rock, the keys. And what are we doing? The document that's the foreground of our democracy and our civil society, well, that's what we need to do.
Yeah. Dr. Bartlett, you know, the question that many will ask, Dr. Debbie Bartlett joining us on the show, a part of this group that is calling for the country really to back and bring on board the EITI. In-country civil society to put pressure on this as well, more accountability and transparency with this regard. Why would the young man in on Jane Street, you know, McCullough Corner, you know, St. Vincent Avenue and Elizabeth Estates, why would the mother, the single mother who is trying right now to make ends meet, why should they care about something that seems so cerebral, something that seems so, you know, far and apart from their day-to-day lives? Why is the EITI and this show right now, why is this conversation even important?
You know, I have an adopted grandson, Eric. He's about 8 years old. And I say to him, just about every day I see him, I say, you were born to be great. And it gets to the point now that I say, you were born, and he said, I will be great. Mm. The person in Hay Street, in Bain Town, living below poverty, must know by the attitude that we have towards one another that you were born to be great. It's okay that you were born in the pit, but your destination is the palace. We have a practical way to get there. One of my mentors, Al Cawley, who is one of the most successful entrepreneurs, understated, he's very simple, very humble. You know, he always said to me, when people investigated him, because there will always be heightened scrutiny when you are successful. He said, I love people to investigate me because transparency and accountability is key to building trust. Trust is the lubrication for any relationship. Right now in the Bahamas, we don't trust each other. Listen, let me tell you what I look at. When I see Aj Cunningham, he is a man who is honored on Wall Street. Mm-hmm. He is an executive banker, a financial consultant. And we are historically, because I am going to believe that we are on this show today because this is another step towards raising our thoughts. You can only think as high as your thoughts. And you know, we don't really like each other as a people, Black people in the Bahamas. People don't like that, right? Mm-hmm. But it's true because we are very comfortable with giving a foreigner, and I don't care what color it is, particularly white foreigners, and we need foreign investment. Listen to what I'm saying. It's not a racial statement. We have to get to the point. We are at what Moody would say is a downgrade in credit right now at this crisis point because we make too many petty decisions. Mm-hmm. We don't look at performance and values. And so if we are to take this opportunity right now and submit to EITI, it says, people of the Bahamas, you can trust me. Everything is transparent. People of the Bahamas, you know, I don't mind if the elites of our country on both sides, because we have the oligarchs on both sides, PLP, FNM, NEM, it doesn't matter. What we have allowed as a culture, you know, I was a little embarrassed today. Give me just 1 minute more. Mm-hmm. I was embarrassed today. Yahoo News wrote a powerful article on Dario Roberts, who is a Bahamian being defined by Bloomberg, Yahoo, I forget, Forbes magazine, and they just said something. He is a guy who is being described as an innovative leader that is changing the financial services sector around the world. Yes. And Yahoo started in one of their opening sentences today that he has defied the cultural standards of the Bahamas and become successful anyway. And to me, that's not a good thing. No, we're supposed to be with him. We're supposed to be uplifting him. We don't supposed to wait until the crowd get on board. This is what we are talking about now for that person in Hay Street in Baytown. If you can dream, you have an environment that would facilitate your dream, that we are here on this program today as a microcosm or a template of what a tripartite coalition can be. And I just say this, listen. We have to move, and not today, not procrastinate, not be petty. This is not the time to look at political colors. This is the time to secure our legacy for generations to come. This is the time for us to create pathways for economic security and economic liberation. And when we do that, we have to bring the best minds together. It is not only the technocrats, but it is a submission to a vision and a philosophy that believes that when you get into around the table of opportunity and when you ascend to that high place, that we are not reaching back to pull somebody else up. Those people who are diligent, who are integrous, and who have demonstrated that there is reward for patriotism. And then we will give hope because our people in Bain Town and Hay Street want to hear with their eyes. They need to see an example. And let me just denounce right here, right now, that we must not tolerate this elitist system where it appears based on the results of the economy and the levels of poverty that its opportunity is only for family, friends, and lovers.
Mm. Preach. Said, oh, Ms. Bartlett, I feel like we need another segment. I was going to say, but I feel like we should say we will be back. We're not going to wrap up right now because this is so important. Dr. Debbie Bartlett joining us on the show, Ash Cunningham representing the Bahamas Natural
Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
It's the Hit Back,
hey!
With Nahasha Black.
Hey!
It's the Hit Back,
hey!
With Nahasha Black.
Hey!
It's the Hit Back,
hey!
With Nahasha Black.
Hey!
It's the Hit Back,
hey!
With Nahasha Black.
Hey!
Black. You're listening to The Hit Back with Nahaja Black. I apologize. Nahaja was saying something, then her face froze, and we lost all video. But I actually came back. See, that's because I hit back. Ah! All right, everyone. I'm so excited. You know, we now have a Ministry of Natural Resources. Vaughn, Minister Vaughn P. Miller, you know, Minister Vaughn from radio is literally still Minister Vaughn. Now he's Minister Vaughn P. Miller, the minister, the first minister of the Bahamas' Natural Resources Ministry. Y'all got to know how exciting this is, because that is one of the things that we continually use as a platform. One of our platforms at the Bahamas Natural Resources Foundation was for this ministry, along with the Sovereign Wealth Fund that actually functions not attached to the Consolidated Fund. I've got to ask Sherwin Long about that as well, with Trinidad and Tobago. We've got Ash Cunningham joining us, our chairman of the Bahamas Natural Resources Foundation. We've got Dr. Anthony Hamilton, president of the Bahamas Civil Society. We have the illustrious, compelling, the prophetic, just the most eloquent, did I say poetic? I said prophetic. The one and only Dr. Debbie Bartlett. And then, of course, all the way from Trinidad and Tobago, the expert on the same very thing that we're talking about today, the need for transparency, the need for accountability to create or to implement structures such as the extractive EI, Extractive Industries Transparency Initiative. All of a sudden, I'm a little slow. Mr. Sherwin Long, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much again for joining us on the show. Thank you so much. All right. So this is where we stopped off, ended off, Dr. Bartlett, was you really setting the table, really laying the groundwork for the mindset change, why we need these structures, why it is not just one good enough to say we need these structures, but that we must force the hand and demand that a structure like the environmental, only thing I know is environment, the extractive industries, yeah, y'all know what I mean, EITI, right? Sherwin, then I come to you. How does the country, how do we create this, implement this? Do we invite EITI? What is the reach of EITI? How easy it is for the Bahamas to say we want this sort of oversight?
Okay, so to sign up to the EITI, I wouldn't say it's a simple process, but firstly, the government, because it's government-driven, the government has to make a statement saying unequivocally, we will implement the EITI. Then you also have to develop a work plan. You also have to develop the tripartite coalition that I discussed, where the government will say, well, these agencies represent the government. What happens is that the industry, whether you have umbrella industry groups, will say these are the groups, these are the players that are representing the industry. And civil society, I think the best process is, and you already have that coalition with Dr. Hamilton, you know, where you can have a civil society, umbrella civil society group select to send its members forward. So it has to be done where each stakeholder group selects their members as well. And I can tell you that in our experience in Trinidad and Tobago, it wasn't ideal. The government selected civil society groups. So that's something that I'm flagging very early. And we had to change some of the membership very early as well. However, despite the government selecting civil society groups, the groups that were selected were very vocal groups that are independent as well. So I'm just using our experience to say, you know, there's another way. Have each different stakeholder group select its membership and have a process for selecting membership. And when you make this application, then the EITI board would review your application and say, okay, Bahamas, we accept you into the EITI family. You have 55 countries that participate, ranging from the UK to Ghana, to Trinidad and Tobago, Suriname, and Guyana in CARICOM. So it's a global initiative. When you sign up, you also are open to an international network where you can find out what solutions did an EITI country come up for a particular problem. So it gives you a real good sort of networking opportunity. So, you know, so you don't reinvent the wheel. You find out, okay, if we have a problem in verifying production, what has been done in another country? What has been done in Ghana? What has been done in Trinidad and Tobago? What has been done in Guyana?
Let me ask this question. What is considered an extractive industry?
Basically, think of anything that you can extract, take out, mm-hmm. right? It's for oil and gas, you would do drilling. For fisheries, you would use a net. You would extract mm-hmm. the fish from the seas. So think of it that way. It ranges from everything from oil and gas to quarrying, to fisheries, to forestry. It's wide ranging in terms of what can be an extractive industry.
Yeah. The great question, has EITI membership proven to be of value to countries that have joined? Great question.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I can speak from Trinidad and Tobago's perspective, right? I'll go back in time to when I was a journalist. I used to cover business. We would never know. We would only get aggregate figures, total figures of what was earned by the country, what was the revenue, and so on.
But now
I can look in our EITI report and say, okay, BP, they paid this to the government. Heritage paid this to the government. Shell paid this to the government. So it gives you, it disaggregates the information so that you can see what these companies pay individually. I think that's important. The other thing in terms of the value, again, we have politics sometimes. We have that is fractious. That is, you know, you have conflicts. I think what the EITI does, and it's not a perfect initiative, but it brings competing interests around the table to actually sit down and discuss and review and approve of what we are doing within the EITI process. So every single report that we put out, BP, Shell, the Ministry of Energy, as well as Fishermen and Friends of the Sea, which is an environmental NGO, as well as the Network of NGOs for the Advancement of Women, which is a gender-based NGO, they have to agree and say, yes, we all approve of this EITI report for publishing. So it builds that trust. It builds that sort of coalition, trialogue. So that, to me, is not to be slept on at all. It's a very important sort of a process for having debate around the key issues. We've met every month. So we've had 130 meetings. We've only had to vote on an issue once over that 130 meetings.
What does that mean? When you say you only have to vote on an issue.
So all decisions, everything has been through consensus. So it helps in terms of coalition building and consensus building. So we've only, as I said, we've only had to vote on one issue over 10 years of implementation. All decisions have been made through consensus. So it helps again. That to me is almost priceless in a country where you have it politically fragmented, etc.
Yeah. And, you know, it's so interesting because I wonder, for you guys in Trinidad and Tobago, is the information used to help to create fine-tuned policy when it comes to exporting of wares, right? So we had Dr. Singh, who was in country with us, mentioned, hey, one of the extracts or extractive industries is cascarilla, something that is extracted out of country. With the EITI reports, are we able, like you said, we're able to see it not in aggregate, but, you know, these numbers stretched out, fine-tuned for us. But are we also able to make smarter decisions? Have you found that in Trinidad and Tobago that you're able to make smarter decisions, policymakers, with this information?
Yeah, what you've seen is that with the EITI, for instance, you can, and it has happened where there's a change to the fiscal regime where the government looked at the royalty that it was receiving and said, well, listen, based on what is in the public domain, maybe we have to increase the percentage of royalty by 2%. So we have seen some gains in terms on the policy side. But apart from the gains on the policy side, what we've done is it's sort of a health check. So it gives data on the health of the economy. It gives data on, okay, how are these systems for revenue collection working? How are these systems for data management working? So while I could sit here and say, I would love to see every single recommendation that we give be implemented, what it does, even if it's not implemented, it puts it in the public domain because all of our information is publicly available. So you'll have different agencies and different actors using the report to say, well, listen, there are issues that the EITI report has highlighted. There are recommendations putting pressure. Why are the recommendations not being accepted and so on? So it's it drives policy changes, but it also keeps some of the amendments and highlights some of the deficiencies in the current systems of revenue collection, audit and assurance, as well as data management.
All right. Before I let you go, Sherwin Long joining us here with EITI Extractive Industries. And all of a sudden, nobody can see me anymore, right? So I'm talking to myself. Extractive Industries Transparency Initiatives, EITI. When you look at the process, and I want to do it for those who are just tuning in, help folks again to understand the process, the working process of an EITI report, the function of this organization to bring us transparency and accountability within our natural resources.
Okay. Well, just to recap, I can say that the EITI answers three important questions. How much do we earn? And is that information that the information that we provide is independently verified? So you have an independent auditor that provides this information, looking at what government receives. This is what companies say they pay. If there's a difference, highlight the difference, explain the reason for the difference. Luckily for us in Trinidad and Tobago, we've never had an unidentified difference. We can explain the reason for the differences. So that's one advantage of the, one pillar of the EITI. The other pillar is, of course, around ownership. Politically exposed persons, as well as beneficial owners. We disclose that. We have a registry that looks to say, okay, who are the owners of these companies that we as a government are partnering with, or we as a country are partnering with to develop our resources? Are there any politically exposed persons there? Or do they have links to a politician, etc.? So that is another sort of pillar of the EITI.
I just got to stop right there. Let me look at everybody on the panel. Lord, we need that one, eh? We need that one. Sorry, Sherwin. I just had to make sure my panelists knew that I saw, and we all kind of knew. We need that one. Okay, all right. You can go back to work. Go on.
And the last pillar I would say is around fair value. Do we receive fair value? Does the data tell us that we receive fair value for our resources? What are the terms of the contract? What are the obligations of the operator for, let's say, if there's an environmental incident? What are their obligations? So it answers those questions. Those are the pillars. How much we receive, who do we partner with, and whether we get fair value. What are the obligations of the operators that we partner with?
Excellent stuff. Okay. So, ladies and gents, Dr. Debbie Bartlett, and I want to make sure everyone is seen very well. Dr. Debbie Bartlett, Mr. Sherwin Long, we have Ash Cunningham from BNRF, Dr. Anthony Hamilton. Let me just remember, you guys can watch. Dr. Bartlett, when is your show, the Economic Emancipation Show? When does that air?
It's on hiatus right now, but I want to say, since you gave me the opening, that the Economic Emancipation Movement is partnering with Florida Memorial University and a university in Ghana to launch Economic Emancipation Day, October 30th. Wow. And running up to that time, it's historical, and countries around around Africa and the United States it's growing in its interest. And so we will get the Economic Emancipation Show back on track. We're just running some real great tracks to the world. And as a matter of fact, the Economic Emancipation Show is what attracted Florida Memorial to the vision of the Economic Emancipation Movement.
All right. Well, of course, you know, and I'm a huge fan. You can't beat it. Aj, literally you have 15 seconds. Tell folks what you want them to know before we go.
Go to www.bahamasnaturalresources.org. Join, get in contact with us. We will have a webinar, all four of us, within 3 weeks, to really expand and put more questions and process to this discussion on transparency, because the Bahamian people have been asking for this. And so we as civil society, emancipation movement, and EITI and the Bahamas Natural Resources Foundation, we are historically coming together to answer the people's call.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry to do this, but I just feel like we want to salute Bertha, who this all happened very organically. All three of us worked together. But Bertha Cooper, who's doing amazing things in the United States and Africa, brought us together, and let's salute her for bringing us to the EITI platform.
Excellent. Yes. And, of course, Dr. Anthony Hamilton from Civil Society Bahamas, 15 seconds. Your thoughts on this from civil society's perspective. Oh, you got to unmute yourself there, Dr. Hamilton.
Sorry, thank you much. Three quick representations. Re-education, training, and development. It's a mindset change that we're actually executing to empower with regard to equality and equity in this structure.
Well, that was good. Oh, my. You're not Baptist. That was awesome. Dr. Bartlett knows our good pastor, Pastor Maz, would say, okay, we're wrapping up, and tell us all to stand up, and it would be 30 minutes later. It would be a sponge ball.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much. Sherwin, thank you so much. Sherwin Long from EITI. I appreciate the time, the effort, the ability to explain this to us, the need for this level of accountability and transparency, and to know that there are entities that exist already, and knowing our Caribbean brothers and sisters are using it, I think also gives us a sense of oneness, understanding, and trust in something like this. Dr. Deborah Bartlett, Aj Cunningham, Dr. Anthony Hamilton, Sherwin Long, thank you so much. We appreciate you all for joining us. All right.
We love you.
Thank you guys.
Thanks again.
Indeed. All right. You're listening to The Hit Back with Nahaja Black. We will be back right after this. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. We still got to talk about all of these appointments. 11 more cabinet ministers. 11. That makes it about 20 so far. Is that the end? You know, they say a Gussie May cabinet. But is it justified? I don't know. Let's talk about it. We'll be back after this.
Sugar, sugar, let's get sugary. Softer, smoother, and amazing skin. Oh, Baja sugar, sugar, we're the sugar ladies, giving you skin soft as a baby's. Goodbye hair, we'll take good care of you.
Come visit us at Baja Retreat Spa on East Bay Street. Contact us at 323-6711. Or visit us online at www.baharetree.com.
The Water and Sewage Corporation advises the public and its customers that the corporation will commence improvement works on Bamboo Boulevard, South Beach East, beginning Friday, September 3rd, 2021, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. daily for a period of 8 weeks. During this time, there may be some interruption in water supply and traffic flow around the work area. The corporation apologizes for any inconvenience caused.
What happened to you?
You look like you lost your paycheck.
Man, I just realized I got scammed out of a bunch of money. They said I won this contest and just needed me to send them some money so I could collect. I mean, to expedite something. Or was it to smooth the process?
Man, you're smarter than that. Protect yourself against scams and fraud by following these tips. If you know you didn't enter a competition, you can't win. Never pay to receive a cash prize. If you're being asked, you're being scammed. Check trusted internet sites for verification of information given to you. Do not give your banking details to people you don't know. If it sounds too good to be true, it is. Monitor your bank account regularly for any questionable transactions.
Get more information at GetMoneySmartBahamas.com.
When I had got prostate cancer, my family didn't know if I was going to live at Cancer Treatment Centers of America. Within days, I got an appointment. They presented me with treatment options, and they set up a robotic prostatectomy. When my scans came back, there are no signs of cancer. They don't see you as a number. They see you as a part of family. I'm going on with my life. That's a real gift.
Call us at Cancer Treatment Centers of America.
You invest in your children, your home, and your community. But are you investing in your financial future? At CFAO, we specialize in investment management, retirement planning, mutual funds, and private wealth management. Our team of experts never stops helping you plan for tomorrow. Because tomorrow begins today. Call us at 502-7010 to see what our financial advisors can do for you. CFAO, growing wealth for future generations.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
To the Hit Back with Nahaja Black, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. All right, ladies and gentlemen, so we've had today more cabinet ministers, more persons brought into the cabinet today. We have, how many cabinet ministers have we added this go around? I think we've added 11 more. Right? 11 more. And I think that that's interesting. It's a big cabinet, right? It's a big cabinet. It's not the end of the world big, but it's big. And I'm trying to remember how many persons were in the last cabinet, right? Because we added the Ministry of Disaster and Reconstruction. So we ended up with that. We had the changing of the guard with some ministers. So that's where it got interesting, right? And you know, let's talk about it, right? So I want to get your thoughts on some of the new ministers that have been added to the fold, right? And this is, again, I think all of this is very, very good and interesting. So now someone will ask, well, why are we discussing those persons, those cabinet appointments? These cabinet appointments are important because now we're going to see what these folks are able to do. Does it make sense? I mean, the women are in the cabinet, okay? Are in the cabinet. I think it was. The women them is in the cabinet. So that's the first thing. First thing to note is we got now four women in cabinet, right? Ginger Moxie, now the Honorable Ginger Moxie, The candidate that beat out Freddie McAlpine, Madam Ginger Moxie, is now the for Grand Bahama. Why can't I get this? I always get this title, right? Not Marathon, not that one. Minister of Grand Bahama. So that was it. I was just assuming I was wrong, just a smidgen. So Ginger Moxie is the Minister of Grand Bahama. Big post, big pickup for Ginger Moxie there. That's exciting. I think that's good. That's cool. We also have Lisa Ramming, right? So Lisa Ramming, the candidate for Marathon. Lisa Ramming, candidate for Marathon, is now and has been sworn in as Minister of State for Social Services and Urban Development. Very good. Minister of State. We got Ginger Moxie as Minister of Grand Bahama, formerly held by Kwesi Thompson, now sitting in opposition, Member of Parliament for East End Grand Bahama. Congratulations to Ginger Moxie. Congratulations to Mrs. Lisa Ramming. Lisa Ramming is an attorney. I'm not familiar, and someone can please let me know Ginger Moxie's occupation there. And then we have, I have this one already because that one was very interesting for me too. We have Jo Beth Colby. So we have, there she is, Jo Beth Colby. Jo Beth Colby was sworn in as the Minister of Transport and Housing. Gone then, Jo Beth. Joe Beth is the Minister of Transport and Housing. Then we have Mr. Mario Boleg, Member of Parliament for Garden Hills, sworn in as the Minister of Youth, Sports, and Culture. Let me find Mr. Boleg. And some things folks knew already, right? Some of us, some things we knew already. And then, of course, and I'm still here, there's another one that I'm looking for, and that is Pia Glover. That's the one I don't have. What is Pia's? I do have that. Golden Gate's Pia Glover role, sworn in as Minister of State for Public Service. Congratulations to Pia Roll. Someone, Curtis, says that Ginger was the former vice president of the Port Authority. That is interesting. The former vice president of the Port Authority. Interesting insight that she would have as the Minister of Grand Bahama. But we know that the Port Authority is not really a friend of Grand Bahama, in my estimation, that it really has some challenges there. Someone says, what about all the PE teachers that won their seats? Coaches, man, coaches, get your life together. So Pia Glover, though, Pia Glover has won as now the Minister of Public Services, right? The Minister of Public, Minister of State for Public Service, which is pretty good. So then after that, we have Miles LaRota. Pinewood MP Miles LaRota. Miles LaRota has been sworn in as the Minister of State in the Office of the Prime Minister. Okay, so some of these positions don't seem like real things, you know. I ain't even gonna lie. What is that? The Minister of State in the Office of the Prime Minister? What is that? I would really like. I see my former guest, and I will ask her to join me again since she is lurking in the background, because she would bring great commentary to what she's seeing as these members of parliament and new cabinet ministers. So, Mrs. Bartlett, you stayed and you're coming on. You're coming on. Just prepare yourself. All right, giving you 1 minute to get yourself in order and get your mind right, because that's important. So that one, I don't know. Miles LaRota, that seat there, this sworn in as the Minister of State in the Office of the Prime Minister. I feel like there must be something missing from that, right? That Minister of State of what in the Office of the Prime Minister? It's like a Minister of State in a location. That one I don't get. Maybe I'm not aware of what that role is. So if someone can teach me, I'm well open, and I'm going to bring on a veteran journalist who has been through multiple elections and seen the setting up of multiple cabinets, the one and only. I mean, you can't get any more fortunate than this. Madam Debbie Bartlett is still with us. Oh, this is a pleasant surprise.
You know, I'm one of your number one fans. You're my, you know, the mutual admiration. And I was just watching you because I love to listen to you and watch you. So, of course, I wasn't intending to come back on the show.
So. Thank you for lurking in the background. It worked out great for me, though. It did.
Oh, good God Almighty.
So, we're going through, Dr. Bartlett, these appointments, right? We're going through these appointments, and they're interesting. And we're not done yet because there was a few more. And so far, this is 9 here. So let's go through them. We have the Elizabeth MP, Joe Beth Colby Davis, has been sworn in as the Minister of Housing, Transport and Housing. Then we have the Minister of Grand Bahama, Pine Ridge MP, Ginger Moxie. Then we have West Grand Bahama, I'm skipping. Mario Boleg, Garden Hills MP, has been sworn in as the Minister of Youth, Sports and Culture. I don't actually have a problem with that. I think that's a good choice. I'm always concerned, though, when we have sports people, they tend to lean more towards sports and youth, and culture gets put on the sideline, not by intention, it's just attention. They don't think about it the way that I think culturalists think of that. I want to get your thoughts just on that alone, Ms. Bartlett. Do you think Ministry of Youth, Sports and Culture should be split? Should culture have its own sort of other, or is it fine the way it is?
Well, you know, it's a very interesting question. And when we look at the development of our culture, I believe that we are in a season now where we can have a focused ministry on culture, because culture defines who we are, what we are, what we do, what we eat, our behavior, our dialect, it doesn't matter. And you're absolutely right. Basically, when you have a multi-tiered ministry, usually, historically, what happens, and this may be an exception to the rule, but usually what happens is we follow our passion and neglect what we don't really understand or know a lot about. So to answer your question, yes, I think we're at that point now where we should have culture as a focus, because we want to be proud of our identity. When I went to Ghana just before the pandemic, this top journalist came to me and said, I didn't know about the Bahamas. I didn't know the Bahamas existed until I heard about Dr. Miles Monroe. And then I followed the Bahamas. I want to learn more about Junkanoo. You see where he went directly to the culture. And so there's a fascination, especially in the age where we are. Ghana is the gateway to the African continent. The Bahamas is the gateway to the Caribbean. We only separated from the African continent and the Bahamas and the Caribbean through the Atlantic Ocean. Watch this. When we now look at culture, we are stronger in our identity if we know our foundation, if we know our roots. So not that Junkanoo is the only expression of our culture. When we are focusing on our culture, we need to market and create and identify products that will inspire, that will influence cultures around the world. And so when we look at the Junkanoo doll and the souvenirs and the merchandising, because this is where we have to go now in this new season, let's talk about culture. Culture is a part of the tourism product. And if we're going to do something different so that we have a more resilient economy, then what we'll be looking at is where are the cultural linkages that will attract the world to choose the Bahamas to be number one again, but not number one how we used to be with 5 million tourists, but number one that we will surpass Fort Lauderdale, the Florida market, which is basically where we get most of our stopover visitors from, But the point is twofold here. One, it creates ownership opportunities. It creates employment. It preserves, protects our culture. And it expands our territory of influence.
Yeah. And, you know, my thing is, of course, there's so much money to be made with just your culture alone, like you've mentioned, right? That our culture alone has such intrinsic value, dollar value, to import or export your culture, your dance. Someone says, Christina says, you know, I get annoyed when they focus on one area of culture, as my mother was a fine dancer, a fire dancer. A separate ministry is needed, you know? And so just that fire dancer, my mother tells stories about how she used to dance at one hotel. And, you know, she showed a picture one time and she had the basket of fruits on her head. And that was a part of their culture then. And you would hear stories from folks who were older talking about how our music would draw dignitaries from across the world, right? I've never seen the Cat and the Fiddle, obviously. But you would hear about our music being the draw, our culture being the draw. And somewhere along the line, we haven't sold who we are, and rather our young people are becoming more of the other, or is there a mesh of both? But we digress on that. Dr. Debbie Bartlett joining us. We are talking about the cabinet. So Mario Boleg has been made the member of parliament, the minister of youth, sports, and culture. Then we have West Grand Bahama and Bimini, Mr. Obi Wilcher. Who is the man? Obi. Obi Wilchcombe is, and I want to find his photo. Where did I miss? Oh, there he is. Obi Wilchcombe is the Minister of Social Services and Urban Development. And that means that Lisa Ramming is the Minister of State for that ministry. But Obi Wilchcombe, as the Minister of Social Services and Urban Development, your thoughts on that, Ms. Bartlett?
I think he's also the now the government leader of business in the House. And I think what it speaks to is experience. And I believe that he has earned it. Minister Wilchcombe was my boss at the Broadcasting Corporation of the Bahamas. And I always tell people that he used to do me real bad sometimes, you know. And but he's a slave driver. But at the end of the day, he is fair. Because we didn't always get along, but when he identifies your core competency, he respects that. He generally does not look at your political choice. Mm. He looks at whether you're qualified in your mind and your ability to deliver. And so he would put me on key assignments. I'm telling this story because I will also tell you that I hope that Minister Wilchcombe would, with his experience in cabinet, also look at what are some of the inefficiencies that we have had in governments in the past, successive ones, that once we get in office, we become inefficient. That is not the Obadiah Wilchcombe I knew as head of the Broadcasting Corporation of the Bahamas. And sometimes I believe that he did not, as a cabinet minister, move on a timely basis in the way he should, but he is very talented, very equipped. And one of the things that I believe people do not know about Minister Wilchcombe, he really has a heart for the poor. It was a Minister Wilchcombe's idea, and he invited me to come in and co-produce with him Bay Streets that did the first expose of the cocaine epidemic that we had in our country that secured a prestigious award in the United States and really helped to restore some values in our communities. Dr. David Allen said that he saw a drastic drop in the cocaine abuse. But with that, you know, I went primarily into the base houses because Minister Wilchcombe doesn't like to see people hurting. It's very easy to put his hands in his pocket and help where people hurt. So I believe that the social services, much like the Prime Minister, and that is perhaps why, knowing Minister Wilchcombe over these years, that he is trusting him to have a portfolio that will really look out for, protect, and advance the interests of those who need a helping hand up and out of the pit of poverty.
Ooh, I love that. That was great. I love the backstory with that too. Dr. Debbie Bartlett. Dr. Bartlett, we're going to take a quick break. My special guest on the show, extra special, right? Dr. Debbie Bartlett, we're talking about the cabinet positions. I want to ask you, Dr. Bartlett, when we come back, of course, your thoughts on Vaughn P. Miller being the Minister of Natural Resources. I know you're going to be effusive with that one. So we'll be back. You're listening to The Hit Back with Nahaja Black, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We will be back right after this.
Softer, smoother, and amazing skin. Oh, Baja sugar, sugar, we're the sugar ladies, giving you skin soft as a baby's. Goodbye hair, we'll take good care of you.
Come visit us at Baja Retreat Spa on East Bay Street. Contact us at 323-6711. Or visit us online at www.baharetree.com.
The Water and Sewage Corporation advises the public and its customers that the corporation will commence improvement works on Bamboo Boulevard, South Beach East, beginning Friday, September 3rd, 2021, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. daily for a period of 8 weeks. During this time, there may be some interruption in water supply and traffic flow around the work area. The corporation apologizes for any inconvenience caused.
What happened to you?
You look like you lost your paycheck.
Man, I just realized I got scammed out of a bunch of money. They said I won this contest and just needed me to send them some money so I could collect. I mean, to expedite something. Or was it to smooth the process?
Man, you're smarter than that. Protect yourself against scams and fraud by following these tips. If you know you didn't enter a competition, you can't win. Never play to receive a cash prize. If you're being asked, you're being scammed. Check trusted internet sites for verification of information given to you. Do not give your banking details to people you don't know. If it sounds too good to be true, it is. Monitor your bank account regularly for any questionable transactions.
Get more information at GetMoneySmartBahamas.com.
When I had got prostate cancer, my family didn't know if I was going to live. At Cancer Treatment Centers of America. Within days, I got an appointment. They presented me with treatment options, and they set up a robotic prostatectomy. When my scans came back, there are no signs of cancer. They don't see you as a number, they see you as a part of family. I'm going on with my life. That's a real gift.
Call us at Cancer Treatment Centers of America.
You invest in your children, your home, and your community. But are you investing in your financial future? At CFAL, we specialize in investment management, retirement planning, mutual funds, and private wealth management. Our team of experts never stops helping you plan for tomorrow. Because tomorrow begins today. Call us at 502-7010 to see what our financial advisors can do for you. CFAL, growing wealth for future generations.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
To the Hit Back with Nahaja Black. We've got joining us Dr. Debbie Bartlett from the, I guess, from the studios of the Economic Emancipation Show joining us today on the show. We're talking a bit about these new cabinet ministers. For the record, Dr. Bartlett, that's 11 new ministers today and 9 on Monday. That's a lot, but excluding the prime minister, I think. And the deputy leader, I think, and that 9 on Monday, because the deputy leader had already been sworn in on with the ceremonial instruments on Saturday, along with the prime minister. So that happened the day on that Saturday. And then we had 9 members of parliament, 9 cabinet ministers on Monday. And now we have 11 more. That is 22 members of the cabinet. I have to ask you this, Dr. Bartlett, before we get to Vaughn Miller. Is this, how big is this cabinet in your recollection?
You know,
in history, based on your historical recollection.
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't remember because there are seasons we have big cabinets and some it's streamlined. But, you know, we talked about culture just a few minutes ago, and we were just adding another one to the portfolio. And I think sometimes we could be penny wise and pound foolish because we had combined a lot of portfolios and we can't see the results 48 years later to the level that we ought to have it. So that I believe what is important for the results is that if we can change our mindset to know that this country is, we have a multi-million dollar and billion dollar budgets borrowing over $1 billion in our budgets, but we can't see. The government is a business. Mm-hmm. We cannot see how we are making money in the country. Mm-hmm. So what I believe we ought to be focusing on is what are the best mindsets. We tend to go with the talent, but the talent without the mindset doesn't produce the results. Mm-hmm. The government is supposed to run like a business, provide the policies and the mindsets equipped and governed by a policy that believes in the economic security and the economic liberation of the people. Now, when you sit down with that agreed philosophy, when we are identifying the cabinet positions, We will then look at who has the right mindset. What do I mean by that? You can have a position and don't believe that Bahamians should have ownership.
That's right.
If we do, then we will sit down when a foreign direct investor comes in and we need them and we honor them. But we will look around the Bahamas and say, who has qualified themselves in attitude, in mindset for the development of this country and skill set to be a partner in that project? That's what the late Celinda did. Mm-hmm. We have situations. I spoke earlier about Al Cawley, but Celinda did not know Al Cawley when Chris Blackwell came to the table and said, I want to have a recording studio. He said, I see an application from a Bahamian. See, the late A.D. Hannah talked about Bahamianization, and that vision that governed their thinking was executed in the decisions that they made. And so we had, through Compass Point, a world class, it became the number one studio in the world. Michael Jackson, AC/DC, all of these people were doing that. And so we have strayed from that founding philosophy and template of the preamble of the Constitution that believes that we should be masters of industry. And so now I am not so much looking at the numbers for the cabinet. What I am looking is to observe what is the mindset of the cabinet. Are we going to continue to tolerate pettiness when obviously we are not making the right decisions for our future generations? And let me just say this. I'm saying the downside of the cabinet ministers. We also, I want to temper it by saying two things. Successive governments have delivered, in spite of the global storms and even national hurricanes, have been able to guide us and navigate us to maintain, even though that is more under threat now, the third strongest economy in the Western Hemisphere after the United States and Canada. We need to celebrate all of our leaders. They've been able to do that. When we talk in a public discourse, we zero in very quickly on what our weaknesses are, but I want to say that it's important for us to look at what their strengths are. I want to thank the leader of the opposition, Dr. Minnis, because you know what? Whatever our challenges were, like around the world with the pandemic, he kept all of the public service workers fully employed. And we know good and well, we couldn't come in, we were in lockdown, but another leader may have thought it would be fiscally responsible to cut the pay of government workers. And you see that the private sectors did. So what I'm saying is that, and just in final thought here, is that, listen, let us go beyond the little weaknesses that we have for the past. We cannot afford to have our money devalued, and the devaluation comes when we devalue each other. Then we could celebrate each other and be happy to see someone succeed and be objective of what is best for the country and start by saying, I want to give the cabinet ministers the benefit of the doubt to believe that they must see that we are influenced, impacted by the global environment. And even though politics is local, we are living with some global realities that we have to adjust to, and we can't just lead for a select few. We must lead for the nation, and we must believe that we have enough vision and skill in this country that we will be influencers of the world.
Debbie Bartlett joining us. One more cabinet post that I kind of raised my eyebrows at, Dr. Bartlett, was Zane Lightbourne, the Honorable Zane Lightbourne. He said, well, Nahaja, why did you raise your eyebrow at Zane Lightbourne? He didn't do anything wrong. I just thought it was interesting that Zane Lightbourn was a former union, I think vice president of the teachers union. I know that Zane Lightbourn has had some challenges before with the leadership style of Belinda Wilson, the director, the president of the BUT. And now he is, and I want to make sure I get this right, he was the last to be sworn in as the Minister of State in the Ministry of Education, Technical and Vocational Training. Of course, he falls under the purview of the minister, Glenys Hannah-Martin. But my eyebrows raised on this one, Dr. Bartlett, because I know that the relationship between Mr. Lightbourn and the one Belinda Wilson is not a cozy relationship. And I wonder, because I even got teachers calling me saying, well, what a time for this appointment. I am going to watch this appointment very strongly. I don't know if this, what is the function of this, but when you hear something like that, what are your thoughts? And we literally have like a minute, but I'm trying to figure out what are we doing here?
Well, I don't know Minister Zane, but I am going to believe that he is going to be the statesman as the Minister of State calls for and put the children first. And of course, Belinda Wilson, if two people always agree, somebody is unnecessary. And I believe Belinda Wilson and Minister Zane have both been a part of fighting for the rights of teachers, fighting for transparency, fighting for accountability. And let's just make sure that that is done. I'm confident that Minister Glenys Hannah-Martin, look, she's the longest serving minister in the entire Caribbean and certainly here in the Bahamas. I believe she's either number one or number two. She has the kind of experience, I am confident, to know how to manage that environment that may suggest that there could be some conflict. But I know that Belinda and Minister Zane, we don't have time for personal agendas. I'm sure that the Prime Minister has put them in the position because he knows that he could move beyond whatever fight he has for the interest of the children of the Bahamas.
I am hopeful. I'm working with your optimism there, Dr. Bartlett. I'm watching this one.
They all say, give them the benefit of the doubt until they prove you wrong.
Charlene, that's what this crew has with me right now, Dr. Bartlett. They got a lot of green grass right now, and you know they won't be gold, and you know the sun shining, and it's a new day. Boy, you better stay that way tomorrow.
We need to see some results. We need to see re-education. We have to see curriculum that is going to transform the thinking of our future leaders, and so we don't have enough time to be distracted by our personal agendas. We got to look forward to the greatness of our future.
Dr. Debbie Bartlett joining us today on the show. Thank you so much, Dr. Bartlett. You're the best. All right, everybody, we have to go. I want to say special thanks again to Dr. Bartlett and everyone else who's tuning in today. Y'all, I'm watching that one though. Y'all sleep. I'm watching education. Now my eyes woke. We'll see you tomorrow. You're listening to The Hit Back with Nahaja Black, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.